Yeah, I had a hard time with that last comment there, Mike Harris. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, your reaction when Richard Miller says that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Israel is the only nuclear-armed entity also in the Middle East. Is it because of that that Israel can claim that, or that our guests can claim that Israel is a democracy?
I don't think Israel is a democracy at all. It's an apartheid state, and it lives divided, and it practices racism on a flagrant basis. They've recently deported, 50,000, black Jews back to Africa. They didn't want them there, so they're practicing open racism. They practice apartheid. They separate the Palestinians out of life and any material decision making that affects the country. I don't think it's a democracy at all. I was recently in Syria. I polled the Syrian people. President Bashar Assad won the election by with an 87% majority. That's democracy in practice. I mean, Israel's no more a democracy. I should say Syria is more of a democracy than what Israel appears to be. And why doesn't anyone talk out about the fact that let's have a nuclear-free Middle East? Let's disarm everyone there. Let's use the U.S. Army as an occupation force to go in and pull the nuclear weapons out of Israel, and then let the U.S. Army act as peacekeepers so that no side is injured. The Israelis aren't injured, the Palestinians aren't injured, and let's impose a peace and let's see how that lasts for a while. I think that would be a very, very big step forward, and it would do a great deal to restore the U.S.'s credibility as an honest broker, which they've lost by allowing Israel to influence our political process so greatly.
Richard Miller.
Well, I mean, where on earth he gets this idea that 50,000 black Jews have been deported back to Africa?
I think it's the Ethiopians he's talking about.
He practices racism, but he practices...
It's the Ethiopians. Ethiopians.
Pardon?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Ethiopians. I think it was 125,000 facing this kind of discrimination. Go ahead, Richard Miller. I'm sorry.
Not only does my colleague on the show practice racism, he practiced lies as well. I mean, if he could produce any type of evidence that Jews have been deported back to Africa, it's ridiculous. But the relationship between Israel and America, there have been tensions. Obama won't be there over the next after a couple of years. The Israeli government might change after March the 17th. So tensions come, tensions go. But at the end of the day, America supports Israel. Israel supports America. Israel's a democracy. America's a democracy. America can the Americans can vote for who they want. Israel has no influence over 300 million Americans. To say that there's some sort of influence is also ridiculous. Unfortunately, whether my colleague likes it or not, Israel is a democracy, and if he thinks 87% of the country voting for Assad is a democracy, well, it's a sad view, really, isn't it?
I think it was 88%. I have to check that. Mike Harris, do you have a response?
Well, yes, I do. See how Israel exerts its influence over American politicians. You have to realize that 96% of the time, the politician with the most money wins in the U.S. That is a documented fact. I can prove it. I can show you the statistics all day long. So what AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, does is they sit these politicians down and say, if you don't vote the way we want you to vote, the next election cycle, we're going to fund your opponent. No matter how much money you raise, we're going to give that opponent more. This politician knows 96% of the time, the guy with the most money wins. So what is he going to do? Of course, he rolls over and he sells out to Israel. That is how Israel exercises its influence over American political process. It's really a sad state. And that's why the American political process has been corrupted by McCain-Feingold, Citizens United, and other tragedies which have happened to corrupt our democracy. And I'm sorry, I don't expect my colleague here to understand the subtleties of the U.S. political process, but I make a study of these things, and I speak factually here.
Well, it's a good time right now to take a break from this debate. Gentlemen, do stay with us while we take a listen to some of the comments made on this topic, and we'll come right back to the debate.
Two hands washing one another. I view the relationship between the U.S. and the Zionist occupation of Palestine the same way I view professional wrestling on left-right American politics. In public, they put on a show to divide people on one side or the other, but behind closed doors, they all toast each other while counting their paychecks and laughing at the poor fools who fall for their theatrics. Netanyahu and Obama are not running the show. The bankers are, and they are with the U.S. and Israel. Where does Israel get its money from? By selling kosher food. They are one and the same. Israel is still on welfare, getting $10 million per day from the American taxpayers, who are themselves the biggest indebted nation on the planet.
Some of the viewer comments there. Richard Millard, you talked about how Israel does not influence or have an effect on the 300 million Americans. Well, the last viewer comment there obviously shows otherwise. When Israel's, well, they say it's still on welfare, how they characterize it, but they're getting $10 million per day from the American taxpayers. It's talking about that huge, massive bill that the U.S. is still footing, and that's it's varied, $3 billion a year, $4 billion a year. Why is it that the U.S. has to give Israel this money?
America gives the Palestinians a similar amount. America gives Egypt a similar amount. And it's not necessarily all coming in money. It's also delivered in military equipment as well. And actually, these days, Israel is successful that actually 3 billion isn't that much, relatively. That amount has stayed the same over the years, but it comes in various forms, not just money, in military equipment, in credit. So there is support there, but why not? America gives aid to the Palestinians.
Except that money is a lot less. And I'm sorry to jump in, but the money that America gives out to some of the entities you mentioned there, including the country of Egypt, for example, is less. But this is the problem when you have, 50 million Americans who are in poverty, Mike Harris, and America has to foot this bill for Israel. So what does that show? I mean, isn't it time for Americans to get their justice when it comes to this type of aid being handed out by the U.S. to Israel?
Well, absolutely. Charity starts at home. And we've got 52 million Americans who are unemployed or underemployed. We've got 48 million Americans who are getting direct assistance on food stamps. And it's time to take this money and invest it into the American economy, into the American infrastructure. Israel's, they've been a country now since 1947. Maybe it's time for them to stand on their own. But then again, you're going to see the powerful influence of the Israel lobby saying, oh no, we must have American aid. We must have the Americans pay for everything that we do. And it's time to break that cycle. If Israel wants to be a sovereign country, which they clearly want to be, then tell them to stand on their own and quit sucking off the tit of the USA. It's time for them to grow up and be big boys.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Editor of Veterans Today, Mike Harris there from Ashland, Oregon, and journalist and political commentator Richard Millard gave us his comments from London. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For Mikhail Vitafway and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.